Hallelujah. Amen. Wow, what a beautiful song. One of my favorite songs. Amen. Exalt the Lord. I'm going to read a passage of scripture to you from the book of Psalm 34 and verse 7. Psalm 34, 7. And this is what it says. It says, "The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him, and he delivers them." Father God, I pray this morning that you would enable me to read your word and to explain what these words mean here, Father God. I pray that you would help me, Father God, in this tremendous responsibility that I'm not capable of, Lord. So I pray, Father, for insight. I pray, Father, for the move of your spirit this morning. In Jesus' name, and God's people say, amen. 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 You can go ahead and take your seats this morning. Psalm 34, 7. This is a song that David wrote, and I remember years ago, this was a song that God gave me. But enough about me. This is a tremendous, tremendous portion of scripture. What do we know about angels? And I don't even know how I came across feeling led to talk about angels this morning, but I felt drawn to this passage of scripture. I was going to talk about something totally different, but I was drawn to this passage of scripture. What we know about angels can only be found in the Bible. There's no other place, no other source of information about angels. But the Bible doesn't deal with the topic of angels from any one place. So you got to kind of pull from all these different places to try and learn about them. And so there are many scriptures, though, like this one. In Psalm 34, verse 7, a lot like this, where a mention of angels is kind of incidental to the point. It's kind of like a side thought. In other words, most of the stories might be about something totally different, about something else or someone else. But when you look in the background, you can't help but to see that angels are there. In fact, they are everywhere in the scriptures. Many of the Bible stories act like pieces of a puzzle. When you start to put all the pieces together, there's this picture, a picture that begins to show the nature and the function of angels and the fact that God uses them in just about every situation that happens in the Bible. And out of all these stories, when you piece them all together, there's a very clear picture, not only of what they've done to help God in establishing the universe and doing all the things that he's done, but what they do for you and how they are there for you. There's no doubt that they exist. And according to the Bible, there are multitudes and multitudes of angels beyond number. They were created long before the earth was made, according to the Bible. Before the earth was made, before the universe was made, they were already there. Messengers of God. They're like servants of God. They surround God, worshiping God all the time. And whenever God has a desire, whenever God has a mission, a plan, they are sent at once to take care of whatever that thing might be. The Bible says that 10,000 times 10,000 stand before him, which is simply an idiom or a figure of speech that says that there are countless angels that surround God, always there to do his bidding. And those same angels are servants of the children of God. Thank God for that. After the Lord saves us, he sends angels to protect us. Amen. You and me. And I know that although that's true, some of the angels have fallen. There are some fallen angels. Did you know that? Now, I've talked to a lot of people who have these experiences. I've talked to a lot of people who have seen demons. They've actually seen them. Nobody's ever told me I've seen an angel, you know. We're prone to see demons, though. But there are fallen angels that serve Satan. and try to fulfill the purposes and plans of Satan to destroy, bring harm. But the angels that serve God are many more and much more powerful than those angels. So you don't have to worry about that. Amen. The angels that serve the purposes of God serve you. Now, there's talk about guardian angels, and that's probably true. It seems to be true. In fact, Jesus talks about it from time to time. And many times here in David's life, looking at this story and looking at the things that David says about angels, there are times in his life where he can bear witness to this unseen army that always seems to be there for him. Whatever the circumstances in his life, like a watchman that encircles his life, that encircles his family. They were always there. When things seemed to be inescapable for David, there was always a way out. There was always a plan that God had for him to escape the difficulties of life. And so as he's thinking about it, it's like, man, there's always an angel encamped around the people of God, keeping watch. They have set up tents around my life, around my family. And that is what he's trying to explain. And when you think about the story of the Bible, they're always there. At the birth of Jesus, you remember the story, they were dancing in the sky, announcing that a baby was born. They're the ones who brought word that he was born. They were the ones who brought word that Mary would be pregnant. They were the ones who told Mary. Mary had no idea, right? They told his name. They were there at the temptation, ministering to him. They were there in the garden, strengthening him. When he was praying for this tremendous responsibility he had, and he sweat like great drops of blood, and he was overwhelmed, the Bible says, overwhelmed with this tremendous burden. Angels were there to strengthen him. When Jesus was arrested and about to be crucified, he said to Pilate, he says, "Do you think I cannot call on my Father and he will send at once more than 12 legions of angels? Do you think that they are incapable? Do you think that they don't know what's going on, that they're busy doing other things?" Man, they are ready, ready to come, ready to respond at a moment's notice. I can call on them at any time and they are there. They're always there. They were there at the empty tomb. They were there when Jesus ascended into heaven. And the disciples were looking. And they were so concentrated on watching Jesus rise up, tripping out, looking. Wow, he's gone. When they looked down, there were angels right there with them. Why are you gazing up in the sky? You're going to do the same thing. Amen. In fact, it's the angels that carry us there. They're everywhere in Scripture. It was the angels that helped Lot escape Sodom. It was an angel who went down and stirred the water at Bethesda. It was an angel who opened the prison doors to set Peter free. They are protectors of God's people, protectors of the people of God, those who inherit salvation. Psalm 91, verses 9 through 13 says this: "If you make the Most High your dwelling, even the Lord, who is my refuge, then no harm will befall you. No disaster will come near your tent, for he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. You will tread upon the lion and the cobra and will trample on the great lion and the serpent." You can even throw in roaches if you want. You trample on all of it, man. And yes, he's talking about protecting Jesus, because we know that Jesus quoted this scripture when Satan tried to tempt him. Yes, he's talking about Jesus, but he's also talking about those who have been sent to protect you. That he sent angels to protect you. David said, "The angel of the Lord," which sounds like one solitary angel. Which sounds like, and many times is interpreted as, Jesus himself. But when Elisha was surrounded by the Arameans, and you may remember the story, and his disciple was freaking out because the Arameans had them all surrounded. And Elisha said, "Man, let me pray. God, will you please open the eyes of my servant?" And when God opened his eyes, he looked up and he saw that the hills around them were surrounded by angels with horses and chariots of fire, that there were more of them than there were of the Arameans, that they came to help in the time of need. All throughout the Bible, angels have been there. They're everywhere. His angels encamp around those who fear him, and he delivers them, the Bible says. This means that there are literally encamped around your home. They pitch a tent to encircle you, to keep watch over you throughout the night. In your most vulnerable times, in your most trying times, they are there. Matthew 18:10, Jesus says, "See to it that you do not look down on one of these little ones, for I tell you that their angels in heaven always see the face of my Father in heaven." He says their angels, they're protecting angels, they're guardian angels. You know, it's possessive, they're angels. It's not below their dignity to minister to the least of us. They are always there ready to fight for us, to protect us. Does that mean that things don't ever happen? Of course things happen. And believe me, they are there. And they keep record of what's going on. And if something does happen, God allows it because God has angels ready to pick up the pieces when it needs to be picked up. David says, all who fear the Lord will lack nothing. If you go on and read verse 10 of chapter 34, all who fear the Lord will lack nothing, even when it seems like we lack. We lack no good thing, the Bible says. Nothing is lacking, nothing is lost. Hebrews 1:14, it says, are not all angels ministering spirits sent to serve those who will inherit salvation? Right? This is called an interrogative sentence. There should be an exclamation point at the end of this verse rather than a question mark. In Hebrews, this is the strongest confirmation. It means yes, yes, all of the angels are ministering spirits. All of them are sent to serve those who inherit salvation. The answer is yes. This is what they do. This is why they exist. And they give watch over you. The Bible tells us that they carry the prayers that you pray to God. And they're the ones who bring God's response back. They're constantly around, ready to do what God desires. They're God's angels in the work of redemption. You ever pray for a loved one? You ever pray for those in need? They create the right conditions for people's eyes to be open, to recognize what God is doing. They are constantly working to cause things to happen, to move things to happen in such a way that people realize that God is really in love with them, that God is really calling them, that God is making a way for people to return back home. We call it prevenient grace. You can call it what you want, but angels are fighting for the salvation of those God is calling. It was an angel that called Gideon, who was hiding in the wine press. You recall the story. It was an angel who told him, "The Lord is with you," when he thought he was all alone. When he thought he was all alone and had given up on the cause of fighting for his people, hiding by himself. It was an angel who called to him and said, "You're a mighty warrior." A mighty warrior. When he himself thought that he was useless, powerless. When he himself thought, man, what's the use in trying anymore? I'm just going to hide out here. I got a little bit of grain. I'm gonna try and make some flour, make some food for myself. He wasn't even going to share with anybody. He was just all to himself, hiding out from the enemy. It was a lost cause. God has forgotten all about us. God doesn't care about us. God isn't with us. And it was an angel who showed up and said to him, "Go in the strength you have and save Israel out of Midian's hand." Can you imagine that? Think about how ironic this is, the contrast here of a guy who had totally given up. He had given up so much he turned his back. He was hoarding his own food from his family, hoarding his own food, hiding out, trying to keep what he has and not share what he has with those people. And God is saying, "You're the one who's going to save your people." An angel told him that. Imagine an angel coming to you that way. when you see absolutely no possible way to do some incredible feat for God, when you see that there is a need, and it seems so impossible that you just isolate yourself from doing what God, you know, God wants to do, to protect those that are in need around you, to bring about a hope and a word of comfort in a city that has lost its hope. When God is calling you to protect those who seem to be far beyond your reach, and an angel comes to you and says to you, go in the strength that you have and save your family. Go in the strength you have and save the city that is being bombarded by the devil, in the grip of the devil. Go in the strength you have and deliver them out of the circumstances they face. Can you imagine that? That's exactly what happened to Gideon. You go. I'm calling you to go. Doesn't matter what you think. That was an angel who brought that message to him. It was an angel that cooked a meal for Elisha when he ran from Jezebel. Remember the story? Francis was talking about it on Friday night, right? When he ran from Jezebel, man, the angel should have showed up and rebuked him. Brother, what are you running for, man? Right? But when Elijah fell asleep after running for miles, he ran for miles, and he fell asleep under a tree. It was an angel who woke him up, cooked him some food, showed up, cooked him some, hey, eat something, man. I know you're tired. Here, eat something. And, you know, and it happened a couple of times. Fed him, and the Bible says that he was strengthened in spite of whether or not he was doing the right thing. He was there to minister to him, to help him, to strengthen him when it seemed like he was all alone. When he was all alone, there he was to minister to him. It was an angel who announced the birth of Samson when his mother was barren, came to her and said, hey, you're going to have a child. Never mind the obstacles. Never mind the obstacles. I know it's been years that you've tried to have children, but God has a plan. And you're going to have a son, and he's going to be separated and consecrated to serve the Lord, to make an announcement. They are messengers of God to serve those who inherit salvation. It was an angel who interpreted the visions that Daniel saw, and he saw a lot of them. It was an angel who directed Philip in evangelism in the book of Acts, that appeared to Peter in a dream and showed him things that people just don't see. It was an angel who did that, who freed the people that were in prison time and time again. They are angels that are working in the church, in the early church, in the book of Acts, moving and opening new cities and revealing things and dreams and visions. They are agents of God's work in the world, doing things for God in service of God's people. And they have a deep, unfulfilled interest in humanity. And I couldn't explain it. I don't think anybody can explain it. Peter says that they long to look into the things concerning your redemption. They just can't figure it out. Man, what is it about people that God loves them so much? What is it about people, man, that he just doesn't give up on them? What is it about people that he's constantly sending us to work with them, to cover them, to protect them, to encamp around them, to fight for them? What is it about people that he reveals things to them? They can't understand it. How much God loves you. How much God is concerned about you. They've been there with God. And they see God face to face. And they worship God. And they see how holy God is. And they know that if they step out of line just a fraction of an inch, that's it for them. They can't do that. But these people, what is it about these people? Man, they're all over the place and he still loves them. They're all over the place and he gives them another chance. Right? What is it about them that he loves them so much and they are trying to figure that out? Can't understand it. They see just how far we are from the holiness of God. They see everything. And so the Bible says, man, they get excited when one sinner gets saved. They like rejoice. Man, that is incredible. That is unbelievable, inexplainable. We know how much it costs, man. We know the Son of God and him giving his life. That is unbelievable, incredible, and God loves them. And our purpose is to help people? Man, that's unbelievable to them. They trip out on stuff like that. And today, as ministering spirits, angels are sent to you. They're sent to you. Angels are sent to you to give you strength, to resist temptation, because temptation will come. They're sent to you to support you in times of trouble, because times of trouble will come. And even though they're invisible, they're not hard to notice when you really look around. They're not hard to notice when times are tough and you begin to look around and see, man, they really do show up. They show up, they help us in our time of need. Who knows how many times you received help? Who knows how many times that, you know, when all hope was lost for you and they've opened up doors for you and they've shut doors for you. And you thought that that help came from somewhere else. Or you thought that there was no help at all. Who knows how many times you've escaped disease and death and tragedy without any clue that God's angels are working on your behalf. It's the angels whose job it is to carry our souls from this life into the presence of God. When everything is said and done, it's the angels who will take us, to transport us to the presence of the Lord. In Luke chapter 12, verse 8, Jesus says this. He says, whoever acknowledges me before men, he says that I will acknowledge that person before the angels of God. In other words, he says, you know what? If you acknowledge me before men, I'm going to let the angels know who it is that believes in me. But then he says, whoever denies me before men, whoever disowns me, I will also deny or disown them before the angels. You know? And when that moment comes, and they say, all right, it's time to go, you know, we're gonna go pick up, you know, so and so. Yeah, so Jesus, you know, what's the call? Oh yeah, he denied me. Oh, okay, well, we know where to take him, you know. Can you imagine that? You know, this morning, in a world that seems as if evil is the only spiritual activity we seek, because it seems like evil runs rampant. It seems like the only spiritual agents in the world are demonic. That's what it seems today. In a world full of violence and suffering and death and tragedies, I wake up, I listen to the news and I hear of more shootings and more killings and more terrorist attacks. And it seems as though moral evil is running rampant. Natural evil in storms and floods and earthquakes. Spiritual evil in possessions and death that is totally unexplainable. When it seems as though the only spiritual activity is evil all the time. It was David who looked around and says, you know what, there is something else going on. I noticed something else happening. There's something else going on here. And I've looked before and I've felt it before, but man, I've been protected. And there are times that I've been in trouble, and time again, it's as if angels are encamped around me. It's as if that they do their circle. They walk around and protect where I live and my family. Not that problems don't happen, because they do. But David is saying, I recognize that I've been helped. I wonder if you've recognized the angel of the Lord encamped around you, right? The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him, and he delivers them. You know, there's a story, and I'll end here, but there's a story in the book of Daniel. I mean, there's so many, it goes on and on about these angels, but there's a story in the book of Daniel in chapter 10, and I'll tell you the story, but beginning in verse 1 of chapter 10 of the book of Daniel, Daniel received a vision from an angel. He received this vision of a terrible war that was coming. It was concerning the people of God. And it startled Daniel so much that he prayed and for an answer, for an understanding of these. Normally, I mean, he was, you know, pretty sharp on answering dreams and mysteries and visions, but this time there was no answer. There was no illumination. There was no insight. He couldn't figure out what was going on here. So he thought, you know, let me fast and pray. Let me consecrate myself. Let me purify myself. Maybe it's me. Maybe it's me. Maybe I need to wash my hands a little, clean up my life a little bit. And the Bible says that for 3 weeks, for 21 days, he purified himself, trying to hear what the voice was trying to say to him. And for 3 weeks, nothing. Until the angel of the Lord showed up. And it says there in Daniel chapter 10, beginning in verse 12, it says, the angel showed up, and this is what he says, "Do not be afraid, Daniel. Since the first day that you set your mind to gain understanding," since the first day, "to set your mind to gain understanding and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard. And I have come in response to them. But the prince of the Persian kingdom resisted me 21 days. Then Michael, one of the chief princes," which is another angel, "came to help me because I was detained there with the king of Persia. Now I have come to explain what will happen to you and your people in the future, for the vision concerns a time yet to come." 21 days later, the angel finally shows up. And he explains to him, "No, it's not you. It wasn't that you had to, you know, consecrate yourself. It wasn't because of anything in your life. It's because I was held up. That there are other angels, fallen angels, guardian angels over cities, over nations, that resist the prayers from being answered. I was held up by the prince over Persia, by the king of Persia. They detained me as I was coming back immediately after your prayer to respond to what it was you were asking for. They kept me from coming." And it made you doubt. It made you wonder if God answers prayer. It made you wonder if there was something wrong with you. You begin to consecrate yourself. You begin to try other things to answer the question, why isn't God answering? Why isn't God coming? There's a battle going on in the heavens. And the angels that God sends to bring a response are being held up by other angels who have fallen, who resist the purposes of God in your life. Prayers involve not just people and God, but prayers involve the angels that bring the answer. Both those who are sent with an answer and those who are fallen are doing battle in the heavens. And it's those fallen angels whose purpose it is to resist the response that God has for his people. Don't stop praying for your loved ones. Don't stop praying for the city. There are many angels. Jacob says, "I see them, man, like going up and down ladders, from heaven down, you know, to earth. They're everywhere. All throughout Scripture, no matter where you read, they're everywhere, responding to God, moving in the lives of people." If you read in that book of Daniel, you'll see just before that, and the chapter before that, he prays, and even before he gives an answer, or even before he fulfills the prayer, the request in his prayer, the angel was there to give an answer to him. Immediately, before he was done, but here he was held up. There's a war. Angels are everywhere, not just for the bidding of God's people, not just to minister to God's people, but there are fallen angels that try and resist what God wants to do. I want you to know that there are angels that are watching over you. They have been charged to keep track of you, to keep you free from demonic activity, to protect you. And what David is saying is absolutely true, that in all of the exploits and all of the the adventures of his life, and there were many, he began to realize a pattern that no matter what the situation may be, man, I have noticed that I have been helped. I have been helped. And I need to thank God for the sending of his angels. Sometimes they come in, you know, kind of unnoticeable, kind of, you know, incognito. You don't recognize them. And they minister in ways where it seems like it's just a person. Oftentimes they show up like people. And they just come and they help in times of need. And then they're gone. And it's like, who was that? And they just come and they go. And it's hard to discern. But they are always there. They're all throughout Scripture. Always there ministering to the needs of God's people. So I want you to know that what God has called you to do, you are able to do it. And that you have help that comes from heaven, that they answer your prayers. So don't give up on the one that you love. Don't give up on your family. Don't give up on the calling. Like Gideon, man, they may show up and say, hey, you've got it. You can do this. You know, get up and let's do this. Man, what are you doing here? You need to be doing what God has called you to do. They know what it is, and they cannot believe. They cannot believe that all of the power and all of the grace of God that should be reserved for the most perfect of humanity, they cannot believe how God has lavished his love upon us. That is what blows their minds, and it blows my mind to think that God would love me that much. Will you stand with me this morning? God knows what he's doing. And he's called you to do great things. And there's nothing that you lack this morning. He has sent his angels to care for you, to watch over you. But there's nothing, the Bible says, nothing that you lack. The lions may grow weary and hungry, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. Right? The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him, and he delivers them. Father God, I pray that you would help us to see your strong arm of protection. That you would help us, my God, to know that delayed prayers are not unanswered prayers, but delayed prayers are often the cause of the battle. Resisting forces, spiritual forces that try to keep the answers from reaching us, that try to keep grace from reaching us. Father, I pray for your people this morning, Lord God. We have work to do in our city. We have work to do, Lord God. We have family members that need prayer. We have family members, Father, that are lost, that need to hear the gospel. We pray, Lord God, that you would send angels, that you would create circumstances around them. Help them to see the grace of God. Help them to hear your voice. Do battle over our cities, Lord. Fight against those demonic spirits of oppression, drug addiction. Father, fight against those powers that bring about the violence, that bring about all of the tragedy that we hear about day after day. Fight against the spirits, Lord God, of perversion. Fight against the spirit, Lord God, of violence in our cities, the form of racism, hatred. Father God, I pray, send angels to encamp around your people. Help us, Father God, to fulfill the task you've given us, the calling that we have, each of us, Lord God, to come out of the winepress, to come out of a mindset that we're all alone. Father, I pray your anointing upon us to do great things for you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You know, this morning I want to give the angels an opportunity to rejoice. The Bible says that when one person repents, a single person repents, that they rejoice. That they rejoice. It's like the most exciting thing. And you know, it doesn't matter how many people get saved, it doesn't get old for them. It doesn't get old for them. And I think that the reason is because they realize just how wide, how deep the chasm is between sin and salvation. That it is such a far journey, that it is such an impossible journey from sin to salvation. It is incredibly difficult, incredibly far, it's just impossible, yet Christ makes it possible, and all it takes is a prayer. All it takes is a response, and we pass over the chasm from death to life, and that trips them out. The Bible says when one sinner repents, they rejoice. It's like, man, there's a party. There's a party going on. And so this morning, if you realize that perhaps you're on the wrong side of the gap, that maybe that your sins of the past, they've gone on unforgiven. You haven't brought them to Christ. You haven't come to Him and humbled yourself before God and said, you know what, God, I know that I've lived wrong. And I've had no intentions of changing. I've had no intentions. I believe in God. I believe He exists. But I haven't made a change in my life. I haven't allowed You to just take me and change my circumstances. If that's you, today is the day. Today is the day. And I'm going to ask you, wherever you are here in this place, just to come forward, come to the altar. Just come and say, you know what, Lord, I want to be right with You this morning. There is something about the rejoicing of the angel. There's something they see. There's something that they know that I don't know. But I want to know You, God. I want to know You. I want to see what they see. I want to know what it is to see You face to face, to have my sins forgiven, to be cleansed, to have hope and purpose in my life. Father, I want to know You that way. Oh God, I pray for those this morning who have come forward, for those this morning that desire a life with You, for those that have come, Lord God, let their coming forth, my God, be an acknowledgement, Lord, of their brokenness, of their fallenness, Lord God. Let it be an acknowledgement of a need for You this morning. I pray, my God, that Your cleansing blood, I pray that You would cover them, that You would atone for them, that You would sanctify them, my God. Justify them, Father God. Forgive them of their sins. My God, help them to cross the gap. Let Jesus be a bridge, Father, from death to life. I pray Your hand upon them, protect them. Send angels, my God, to watch over them, to cover them, to encamp around them, Father God. Do a work in their lives, Lord God. Do a work in their lives, I pray. Oh God, and we pray this in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord God, we thank You this morning. We thank You for Your cleansing. Lift every burden, Father God. Rebuke, Father, every disease. Lift the burdens from their lives. Help them to see life differently. Give them the power to live for You, to serve You. Give them a calling, gifts, my God, abilities, insight, Father God. Oh, Father, I pray, lift the darkness, my God, in the name of Jesus. Rebuke the enemy. Chase back demons, my God, that have enslaved and oppressed them, Father God. Oh God, I pray for liberty. I pray for hope and freedom. I pray, Father God, You set the captive free, Father God. Rebuke, my God, every addiction. Rebuke, Father God, every fear, Father God, in the name of Jesus. Fill them with Your Holy Spirit. Fill them with purpose, my God, and calling. In Jesus' name we pray. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank You.